We're entering into one of the most important and also painful parashas in Machshava. In reality, that's the parasha of Golus Adibur, the exile of speech. We've been talking about speech, speaking as being the ruach, as being the that part of the human being that stands between the nefesh, which is connected to the physical, and the neshama, which is the intellectual, the spiritual, and the koach hadibur, the ability of man to speak, is that which is standing at the crossroads of his very definition of a human being, who is a medaber. And we learned the Maharal last week that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the normal combination 50-50 of body and soul. Moshe Rabbeinu was exalted and transcendent. Therefore, he didn't have that most human capability of speech. And he only began to speak when he received the Torah. Whereas you and I, when we're born, that's pretty much what we are. A neshama, a soul, and a body. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't begin his life by saying mommy and daddy and asking for these kind of things, simple physical things. Moshe Rabbeinu began to speak words of Torah. Those were his first words. So the dibur is the definition of the human being, and the dibur is the ruach, is that quality of ruach, which is free choice. Therefore, a great deal of our free choice has to do with the things that we say, with what we say, with the use of the dibur. Now, before we can understand Golus HaDibur, before we can understand the concept of the exile of speech, which is the Parsha Shmos. When you open up the book of Shmos, nobody seems to be talking. Moshe Rabbeinu can't speak. Paro is not able to understand. Paro is not listening. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if the Jews are not listening to me, if they don't understand what I'm saying, then how's Paro going to listen? When you look at the beginning of the Sefer, nobody is davening. It says, Vayeonchu, Vayitzak, they're screaming, they're sighing, they're krechtsing, they're calling, but nobody seems to be able to speak. And that's the Inyan of Paro, whose name means Pera, the mouth of evil, the evil mouth. Paro, whose name is the letters Ha'oref, the neck, the opposite of the ability of speaking, the neck. And Pesach, which is the night where we correct all of that, is that Pesach means Pesach, the mouth that speaks. And all the mitzvahs of Pesach night have to do with speaking and so on. So the entire subject of Mitzrayim, the Golus, the exile of Egypt, and Yetzias Mitzrayim has to do with the exile of speech and the redemption of speech. Speech in its most refined and redeemed form comes out as tefillah, as davening. So in order to understand davening, we have to talk about the exile of speech and the redemption of speech. And in order to do that, we have to learn what we're going to learn tonight. Back to my handwriting, I'm sorry, forget his page, whoever doesn't have. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us an interesting new use of the word dibur, of the word speaking. The Gemara says, Dabar echad lador, vein shnei dabarim lador. Dabar echad lador. The word dabar means a spokesman, a leader. Rashi says, Dabar echad, manhig echad. Dabar echad lador, vein shnei dabarim lador. Means that a person who is a leader of the Jewish people is called a dabar. A midaber, the one who speaks. A dabar is a spokesman. Rashi defines this as a leader. So since we learned that speech is the ruach, and that speech is connected more than anything to man's free choice, as the definition of human being who is torn between the body and the soul, and speaking is that borderline, that crossroads between the body and the soul. So we understand that it's up to the koach hadibur to be manhig, to direct and to lead the life of that person either towards good or towards evil. the reason that the word dibur is also the word dabar, which means to lead, to control. It doesn't mean to manipulate in a negative way. It means to lead and to control, a spokesman, somebody who leads and controls. So the same way that Bechira, what does Bechira mean? Bechira means that I, when I make a Bechira, when I make a choice in the right way, it means that I've taken my neshama, my soul, and I've placed it in control of my body. It leads my body. It directs, it is the ruler over my body. When, God forbid, I make a choice in the wrong way, when my Bechira is being used in a negative way, then my body becomes the manhig, the ruler over my soul. That's what Bechira means. So we see that Dibur, speech, which is the point of free choice, that speech means Dabar, which means to lead. And depending how you direct the Ruach of your peh, the breath of your mouth, depending upon how you speak, to a great extent that's going to determine whether you are leading your neshama by your body, God forbid, or whether your neshama is in control and leading your body in the right direction. So we see this in other places, that the word dibur is connected to leading or controlling. In the second one, we say this by the Tkiah Shofar, Yedaber amim tachteinu ulumim tachas ragleinu, that nations will be led by us and countries will be controlled by the Jewish people. Yedaber amim tachteinu. So the word there, yedaber, also means to be led, to be controlled. Ba'asher dvar melech shilton. Number three, in Koheles, with the word of the king, there is sovereignty. Ba'asher dvar melech shilton. The meaning of this is, with a king who is just and fair and righteous, with such a king, everything in his kingdom is controlled by what he says. With his words, he controls. With a king who is not really in control, he cannot lead his people with the words that he says. He has to use a sword or a stick, a patch, a jail. Right? Same thing in a house, kiyadua, where there's a good relationship, where there's real respect for a parent, so the parents speak to the children. When there's a problem in the relationship between parents and children, so then the parents either have to hit the children, God forbid, or have to scream at the children. Ba'asher dvar melech shilton means that when there's a true king, the shilton, which means the control, the government, the sovereignty, takes place bidvar melech, with the word of the king. So here we see again that speaking is a way of leading. When a person wants somebody to follow his or her will, when a person is trying to get someone to understand, this takes place with speaking. It's much easier. It'll work much faster if you give a smack or if you scream. Screaming is just a sophisticated smack. It's the same thing. It's just sometimes it hurts more than a smack. Screaming is just a civilized way of hitting. So when a person who's truly a king, now you remember our definition of king that we learned a few weeks ago, that a melech, a king, means malach lev kaved. That the person is working with the neshama is in charge of this life. The melech is the moach, begins with moach, the mind. The lev are the emotions, the ruach, free choice, that's the lamed, lev. And the endachav, the long chav, is the kaved, the liver, which is connected to the blood, the nefesh, my physical reaction. So bedvar, asher dvar melech shilton, means that in the life of a true king, dibur, speaking, is the way of controlling. Again, I don't mean controlling in a manipulative way. I mean a way of convincing, of leading, of communicating, takes place through dibur. Let's do this quickly, because to get up to the main point. Therefore, you see in number four, Moves v'chayim b'yad halashon. Moves v'chayim b'yad halashon. That death and life is in the hands of the tongue, is up to speech. Death and life. So there you see more than anywhere else, and we'll come back to that pasuk at the very end, how somehow, by what a person says, he's making a decree of either life or death for another person, for himself, that dibur has a tremendous power in the realm of free choice, in bechira. Mavis v'chaim b'yad haloshim. when the person who you're talking to absorbs what you're saying, understands properly what you're saying, if you've taken the time to speak in a on a level that the person can understand, when the person absorbs that, then you are able to be to be a manhig over what that person is going to do. In other words, if you want the child to do something, let's say it's a child, you're trying to explain to the child something. If you've explained to the child in a way that the child can understand, then the child will absorb your dibur, your words, and then you will now become a manhig, a leader over the child, a king over the child. Again, I mean a just and righteous king. I'm not talking about manipulating. I repeat that over and over because we're not talking about the negative use of speech. In a positive way. Again, dabar means a spokesman. It means the word ledaber means to control, to direct, to guide. Now this is a din, this relationship between the one who is speaking and the one who is listening, this relationship comes out very clearly in a well-known halacha that every one of us is familiar with and we apply all the time. So you know that, for instance, by Kiddush. So whoever is leading the household will make Kiddush. And not everybody in the house makes Kiddush, generally, right? The person who's leading the Shabbos table will make Kiddush. And all of us will answer Amen. And the din is that we're Yotzei Kiddush. We've fulfilled our obligation. But how could that be? Really, the Torah requires everybody to make Kiddush. Men and women all have to make Kiddush. So how is it possible to fulfill our obligation by listening to somebody else? So there's a din. There's a din that's in Gemara. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch. It's a law. It's called, two simple words, Shomea Ke'one. Shomea Ke'one. What does Shomea Ke'one mean? It means that if I'm listening and I have intention to listen, and the person is speaking has intention to speak on my behalf, then a unique relationship is formed where the Shomea, the one who is listening, and the Mashmia, the one who is speaking, right? The listener is the Shomea, the one who is making himself heard is the Mashmia, where the Shomea and the Mashmia are able to fuse, to merge together into one, where I can just listen to the person, and by listening to the person, that's it. In other words, it's as if I've said it. Shomea ke'oneh. In other words, by my listening to that person, I have become, to a certain extent, that person. I'm completely within the realm of that person's own words. I've become completely engulfed in that person's words. This is the halacha, which the Chazon Ish writes in his own beautiful poetic way. Inyan Shomea Ke'oneh, number 5. Inyan Shomea Ke'oneh, hu his achdus ha-shomea v'ha-mashmia. The din of Shomea Ke'oneh means that there's a his achdus, a unification, a complete fusion, a joining together of the Shomea, the one who is listening, v'hamashmia, and the one who is speaking, zebedibur v'zebeshmia. This one is speaking and this one is listening. Ad shemisyacheis gam hadibur l'mitzvas hashomea. Until it reaches a point that through listening, that person has become, the one who is speaking has become an ideal medaber. What's the ideal medaber? Again, who's the ideal spokesman? The one who can use words to bring you to his way. Correct? That's a convincing speaker. That's what it means, a spokesman. The one who is able with the power of persuasion and speech to bring you over to his way of thinking and his way of understanding. So the most profound halachic manifestation of this relationship, of this level of perfected communication, is the highest level of communication. This doesn't mean brainwashing. This does not mean a loss of self. But there is such a thing where there's a relationship between the one who is speaking, the one who is listening, that it reaches a point where the one who is listening is so completely drawn into the one who is speaking that they literally become one. That's the din of Shomea Ke'oneh. He says Kiddush, and I am Yotzei. That person makes Kiddush, and it's not that I am Yotzei. We think I'm Yotzei is like, it's a magic thing. This magic thing that he says it, and I'm Yotzei. This person reads the Megillah, and I get the mitzvah. Shomea Ke'oneh is a remarkable thing. It's telling you that I'm mamish, I'm saying it.
I'm mamas saying it. Therefore, you have this fascinating question that's brought down by the Rogatchover, and it's brought down the Brisker discussions in the Rogatchover. A question on halacha. I mean, I don't want to get into this right now, but you'll find it interesting. Everybody knows that when the Baal Kori reads the ten sons of Haman, when he read the Megillah, he has to read them how? What's the din? B'nishimachas, in one breath, right? The ten sons of Haman were killed in one shot. So it's a din, it's a halacha. That what? That you have, that the person who's reading the Baal Kori has to say the ten children of Haman, the ten children, they sound so nice. Those ten fiends, the ten sons of Haman have to be said in one breath. Now, for the entire Megillah, whatever the Baal Kori is reading, I am Yotze, through the halacha, through the din of what? Shomea? Ka'one. In other words, I listen, and because I'm listening and I have intention to be led by the Baal Kori, he leads me, mamish, to a point where I am one with him. And his saying, by Hibi Me'achashverosh, in other words, his uttering of the words of the Megillah, it's mamish like I'm saying it. Piv Kipti, his mouth is like my mouth. So you know that everybody, there are certain psukim that we all read out loud, that the Baal Kori stops, and we read out loud. One of the things that we read, that everybody in the tzibur, in the shul reads, are the ten sons of Haman, right? The ten sons of Haman we all read. They're very hard to pronounce, mostly we just pronounce it wrong and wait, you know, for the guy to say it correctly. They're hard to say. So, or at least if you have the nekudas, but if you're saying it from a klaf, they're very hard to pronounce. So the Rogat Shavah said that Shomei Ka'one works, that I am Yotze, the reading of the ten sons. But I have to also say the B'nishim Achas. I have to say to myself in one breath. Because he can't be motzi me with his breath. He can only be motzi me with his words. In other words, since there's a law that I have to, that the ten sons of Haman have to be said in one breath, it's true that according to halacha, even if I mispronounce the words or whatever, he could be motzi me with saying the ten names. Because that's the name Shomei Kona, because that's speech. But what about the law that says that it has to be done in one breath? So that, the Rogatchover says, that's not Shomei Ka'onah. Shomei Ka'onah is only by speaking, not by breathing. You have to hold your own breath. He can't do that for you. Huh? The other psukim, you mean? The psukim, those are psukim of Geula, of special redemption. So we say that just because of Simcha. The Mefarshim say, no, it's just Simcha, like, you know, it's like an outburst, like Yehudim Ha'isar of Simcha, or the psukim of terrible sadness. In other words, there's like emotional points in the Megillah, but Mika Hadin, I mean, that's not to be Yotze the Megillah. But here's an interesting thing. In other words, when we say the halacha of Shomea Ka'ona, that by listening, it's as if I'm saying it, does that mean all the other things that go along, like, or is it no frills? If you say Shomea Ka'ona means, in every respect, it means that when the Chazan takes his deep breath, it's as if I've done it, right? Or do you say, no, that's only as far as speaking is concerned. But as far as taking that breath, he can't take a breath on my behalf. So what I'm just trying to bring out is that when the Rogatchover says that it doesn't work for anything else except speaking, it means that this law of Shomei Ka'ona is a law in communication. That's it. Shomei Ka'ona means that another person's speech can become my own. So here we see again, we recognize how speaking has an extraordinary koch of hanhaga, of controlling, of leading, of guiding, of bringing together. Now, this next thing we'll just do very quickly. This is the next few psukim here. The next few things here are about listening. About listening. So it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Ma'or einayim yismach lev. It's a beautiful pasuk. Ma'or einayim. Like every single word in this pasuk used for a name of a sefer because it's such a nice pasuk. Ma'or einayim, the light of the eyes, yismach lev. In other words, if a person sees something beautiful that shines, something nice, it causes the heart to rejoice. Seeing something nice makes a person happy. Ma'or einayim, yismach lev. When you see the sun, when you see something beautiful, it makes the heart happy. Shmua tova tad shein etzem. But hearing something good causes the etzem, the bones, to delight. Causes the bones to delight. Ozen shamas tochachas chayim bekerv chachon talin, that an ear that hears the guidance of life, this is bekerv chachon talin, this resides within the hearts of the chacham, of the sages. So what is the meaning of this? So if you ask somebody what, you know, I used to always think this horrible thought, if God forbid something would happen to him, what's worse, to be blind or to be deaf? Chalila shouldn't be on anybody anything. But what's worse? So, you know, we still have these terrible thoughts. What would be? So right away everybody says, well, seeing is definitely more. Most people would say, if you ask the kids in school, what's worse? The worst, chalila, is to be blind. Chalila. So Ben Yonah is telling us in his explanation of this pasuk, of this concept, where Ben Yonah says in Shari Tshuva that Ha'ayin Eiva Nechbad Ma'od, the next one, Ha'ayin Eiva Nechbad Ma'od Ki Yirus Ha'maros Ha'besam Chemes Ha'leiv. His, the eye is very special. Because when a person sees something, it causes you, when you see something nice, it makes you happy. That's what the pasuk is saying. It's nice to see nice things. But V'nechbad Mimenu Ha'ozen, the ear, hearing, he says, is more precious than seeing. Hearing, the ability to hear, is more precious than the ability to see. Ki yishmu bo shmua tova, hamidashenes es ha'etzem she'ein bo ha'hargasha. It's a very, very deep concept. This is something which Kedai to talk about a lot, but we're not dealing with shmia, with hearing, the whole subject of listening. Rabbi Yonah is saying, Rabbi Yonah is a Rishon, Rabbi Yonah is saying that although seeing is wonderful, seeing causes you a feeling of delight. But hearing something, which is the quality more of the sages, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, the quality of the sages is a good ear. A good ear. See, to have a good eye, that's Torah Shebichtav, to see the written Torah. To have a good ear is what? Torah Shabal Pet, to listen. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that when a person hears something that's good, it doesn't cause you the same immediate kind of a delight and high when you see something really nice. When you see something really nice, you feel like this immediate, like an immediate joy, an immediate simcha. When you see something very nice, it makes you feel immediately lifted. But the way of the Chacham is to listen. Listening, he said, the Pasuk says, is tad shein etzem. The etzem means the bones. The bones. But etzem, the word bone, etzem, also means the atzmiut. What is atzmiut? It means essence, the inner point. So Rabbi Yonah is saying, is that when I see something delightful, it causes me to delight. My heart is happy. And I feel that happiness. When you see something beautiful, you see a rainbow, you see something nice, you see a child playing. I mean, it causes the heart to rejoice. Hearing something that's good. Hearing something that's good. That doesn't give you necessarily a sense of, like an immediate sense of excitement or exuberance of happiness. But it's tad shein etzem. It causes the deeper essence to delight, to rejoice. You might not feel it. A good Torah. It's not the kind of thing like, you know, seeing something very beautiful. But when you hear something very profound and deep and important, tad shein etzem, in the beina, you know, it goes to the bones. It goes to the very essence of who a person is. Dafka, because you don't feel it. Ein bo hagosha. You don't feel it necessarily. V'lo yedushan v'oreinayim bilti betanu yeser. The eyes are impressed when they see something that is externally beautiful. Then the eyes are impressed and become excited. But when it comes to the... But it has to be something which is externally attractive and beautiful. Then there'll be an einig. You'll feel an einig, a delight. But with the ear, it's not like that. Something doesn't have to be externally beautiful. The ear receives and listens, is tuned into something which is deeper. V'chein omru chazal ki ha'ozen nechbar mishare yavarim shim simes eino noisen l'dmei eino charsha noisen is dmei kulo. This is a halacha, the din in the Gemara Bava Kama. That if God forbid a person knocks out a person's eye, if one person knocks out another person's eye, he has to pay the value of that eye. Now you all know that a human eye is not something which is bought and sold. Therefore, the meaning of that, of course, of ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, does not have anything to do with knocking this guy's eye out for another person's eye. It means that depending upon this person's age, obviously if a person is 75, 80 years old, 90 years old, and is no longer working, the eye is not the same value as a person who's 20 or 30 years old. It's also not the same value. Let's say this person is the profession requires careful. Let's say the person works in a lab and needs to always be looking into microscopes or looking at slides, so on. So obviously that would be different than a person who's doing another kind of work, a different kind of work that doesn't require that. So the din is that if a person, God forbid, knocks out a Jew's eye, then he has to pay the value of that eye, whatever the bezdin, whatever the court determines is the value of the eye, if you cause a person to become blind. But if chalila, you cause a person to become deaf, the din is, the Gemara says, he has to pay demei kulo, he has to pay for the value of the entire person. Whatever that is. In other words, it's a much higher price on the ear than on the eye. There's a higher price on the ear than the eye. And the Maral explains this in number eight. The next one, the Maral explains this. Ki ha'adam, hu adam ayidei ha'ozen bifrat. What makes you into human being is the ozen and the ear. V'lo ayidei shar devar, not other parts of the body. V'zeki kamo ha'kli kashuhu golem ein lo shem kli. Vein ha'odam bal kabola rak al yidei ha'ozen. The tachlis of a person's life, this is what we're getting at. The tachlis of a person's life is to be a kli. What does a kli mean? A kli means something that can what? That can receive. Because sof kol sof, we're Hashem's children, and the best we can do in this world is to try to listen and to hear and to receive. That's the best. Kli is the Isis Kohen Levi Yisrael. I mean, to be a Kli means to be able to receive. So the Maral says that a person is not a Baal Kabbalah without the ability to hear. Hearing is Kabbalah. That's why he brings down Lakach Kol Shmiya Miturgam Kabbalah. Whenever you have the word Lishmoa, Shmiya, any kind of the use of the word Lishmoa in Tanakh, Targum translates it in the Aramaic as Kablis, which means what? Lekabel, to receive. To receive. Lishmo means lekabel. To hear something, it doesn't just mean stam to hear. You understand? It means to be makabel, like they say in Yeshiva, daher. To hear something deeply. To hear something deeply. I think I once mentioned to you that the Rashab from Lubavitch, Rav Zevin said this over. You heard of Rav Zevin? He was a great person. So he said that when the Rashab from Lubavitch used to give a maimer in Chassidus, now you have to understand, the Rashab from Lubavitch used to say maimer in Chassidus, he used to talk for 7-8 hours straight. He would stand in the Beis Medrash, there'd be hundreds of people, and he'd have his eyes closed, and he would say a maimer in Chassidus. So, Rav Zevin said that when the Rashab used to say a maimer in Chassidus, these were in Kabbalah and Chassidus of the highest order, that he used to be, every few seconds he would be going, while he was speaking, he would go, shh. And no one was making a sound. Who would dare make a sound when the Rebbe was talking? No one would make a sound. And he would go, the Rebbe Zevin said he would always be doing that. Whenever he spoke, he would have his eyes closed and he'd be going, shh, shh, shh. And Rebbe Zevin says that the Chassidim spoke to the Rebbe about it, and the Rebbe said that a person has to hear. Yeah, he was trying to hear his deeper self. It's a very interesting thing, to try to hear the deepest part of him. Shh, shh. He was quieting down other thoughts to try to come to the deeper thought. In other words, there were extraneous, extra thoughts that were more superficial. Superficial by him, halavai, halavai. By us, it's a thousand feet under, you understand? But by him, he was trying to quiet down those external thoughts to come to the deeper thought. And Rav Zevin said that one time it happened that at the very far corner of the Lubavitcher Beis Medrash, there were two Chassidim. Most people didn't understand what he was talking about, Rasha. There were two young Chassidim that everybody would come. I mean, you have to come. It's part of the, you understand, it's part of the, you're a card-carrying member, you have to go. So, two young Chassidim that they were sitting in, how many hours? They started to, very quietly, to whisper to each other. So, it happened that at some point, the Rasha became deaf on one ear. And Rav Zevin, I think, himself spoke to the Rebbe about it, and the Rashab said that I was so disturbed, I was trying not to hear the whispering of the Chassidim in the back, that I st- stopped hearing on that ear, and I wasn't able to get it back. Because he concentrated so hard to hear what he wanted to hear and not to hear what was extra, that Reb Zevin said he pushed for the rest of his life was deaf on that ear. He lost his sense of hearing completely, which was not massing at all. So to be makabel, shmiya means to be makabel. The morale says, if a kli, if a vessel does not have a receptacle, if it can't receive, it's a golem. It's a golem. It's a worthless piece of clay. A golem. It's a golem. That's whenever my father would tell me something, I did the wrong thing. He, you know, not whenever, but my father would call me a golem. It was a golem is somebody that's not makabel. A golem is not makabel. He doesn't hear. A golem doesn't hear. That's what Maral is saying. Because she'odem charish, God forbid, if a person is deaf, she'odem nechshav k'may golem. It's like he's a golem chalila. Asha eino dover, v'lein nigma tziros. That if you make somebody deaf, it's as if you've destroyed the human image entirely. If, God forbid, you've caused a person to lose his hearing, it means he can no longer be makabel. He's not hearing anymore, he's not receiving anymore. It's like it's not alive. It's not called living. And that's the meaning, the last one on the page. Hadibur ba'atzmo, these are the words of the Ma'aral and Gurariye in Shmos. Hadibur ba'atzmo hu ponim el ponim, ki hadibur kiruv el hamedaber. This is the point. The way that we speak to somebody is ponim el ponim. When you speak to someone, it's very impolite. The worst thing you could do is somebody is over here and you talk to the person you're facing over there. No one can take that. You're talking to me, no, talk to me. Ponim el ponim. I mean, speech, the way to communicate is ponim el ponim. One does not communicate looking over here and talking to a person over there. Ponim el ponim. So when the Torah describes the speaking of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu as ponim el ponim, face to face, or when we think of the Kruvim in the Beis Hamikdash, right, the angels, the cherubs in the Beis Hamikdash, who would, when the Jewish people were behaving properly, they were face to face or eye to eye, that we've spoken about, which is like in Shir Shim where it says Einayich Yonim, your eyes are like the eyes of a dove, which Rashi and Chazal tell us that the nature of the mate of the dove, the male and female dove, is that they stare into each other's eyes. That quality of ponim el ponim, which is, the Maral says, that's dibur, the very definition of dibur, is that the one who is speaking to the other becomes completely attached to the other. The two of them become one. That's what dibur means. In other words, the mashmiya, the one who is speaking, leads and guides and draws the person who is listening to a point of complete identification with himself. That's what true speech is. That's what means panim el panim. True speech is the ability to be a spokesman, a dabar. A dabar means a leader. It means to draw the other into oneself. Shomea ka'ona. On all levels. So therefore we now can understand in the next page, this is one of the deep teachings of the tzaddikim about Hashem speaking to the world. Hashem speaks to the world. One of the most amazing things in Hebrew, I've mentioned this before, Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh is a remarkable language. One of the most interesting words in Hebrew is the word for things, a thing. How do you say thing in Hebrew? A davar. Things are davarim. Divarim, things. Find another language where the word for a thing is the same word as speaking. A davar, a thing, is from the word medaber, which means all things speak. That's the meaning. A davar is a thing. When you say a thing, it means, what is a thing? It means nothing. A thing means stam. Everything, something, nothing. A thing is the same word in Hebrew, comes from the word in Hebrew, ledaber. Kol ha-divarim medabrim. What is that? What is the word in Hebrew? You think it's a coincidence the Baruch Shalom was like running out of words? So he said, alright, I'll use this already. Dibur, davar, dvarim. Dal, also the letters, there's no time to talk about that. Now, why dal?
Reish. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, and this is found also in the Tanya, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav B'Shamayim. It says in the Pasuk that Hashem, forever your word is standing in the heavens. La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav B'Shamayim. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChaim, V'chol Dibur Mayim Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Maitha Bereishis Sh'amar V'Yehi. Every single word, every word that was uttered by Hashem in creation, that's the life and the soul of that thing that Hashem created. How did Hashem create the world? Vayomer Elokim, God said, let there be light. Vayomer Elokim, yehi this, vayomer Elokim, yehi that. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu uveruach piv kol tzva'am. With the word of Hashem, the world was made. Uveruach piv, and with the breath of His mouth, the entire universe was made. All the heavens, all the planets and stars, beruach piv. Why? So when Hashem spoke, Rav Chaim is saying, the words of Hashem, the letters of the Aleph Beis, the words of themselves, the letters of themselves, the pnimius, the koach, the chius, the life and the energy of everything in the world. It's kemat the same words as the Baal Tanya in the Shai Yichud, that he's saying that ever since that day, every moment, every second, the Devar Hashem continues to be infused into reality. In other words, when you look at the sky, so you think that Hashem once made it, and now He's busy with other things. No, every second, Yehirakia. Yehirakia, the continuous words of Hashem that give life to all things. That I mentioned years ago when we were talking about the Aleph Beis, how before the Baal Tanya passed away, he called over his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Baal Tanya looked up at the ceiling, and the Tzemach Tzedek was there, his grandson, Rabbi Nachum Mendel, was there, and the Baal Tanya asked the Mendel, what do you see? So the Tzemach Tzedek said, Zaidi, I see the beams of the ceiling, the wooden beams. So Tanya said, I don't see the wooden beams, I see only the letters of the Aleph Beis that form the beam. Which means he saw the word in Hebrew for a beam is a kaira, kuv vav reish hei. He said, that's all that I see. And when he looked at his grandson, all he saw was the name, with the letters mem nun ches mem. That's all he saw. He could no longer see the physical reality. He saw only the life force and energy of the Dvar Hashem that gives life to all things. Every second Hashem is breathing and speaking into creation, His Ratzon, His will. This is a Shulchan that is an Eitz because of the Ayin, the Tzadik, the Dvar Hashem that gives life every second. That's what the Pasuk means. La'olam Hashem Dvarach HaNitzav HaShemayim. That forever and ever your word stands in heaven. Which is interpreted to mean that the heavens can stand only because your word is forever there. That your word is forever there. The letters, the Aleph Beis, the breathing, the speaking, the hanhaga, the control, the guidance, the rule, the sovereignty of the Master of the world to give life to all things. Rak she'achshav tochei neinu merayis b'enei habasar. Rav Chaim says, but now Nebuch, our fleshiga eyes, our eyes of flesh and blood cannot see the Dvar Hashem. The Baal Tanya, who was in his lifetime so spiritual and so exalted. So you can imagine that a moment before he died, when he was divested of all physical reality, when at that moment he was rid of that physical, of the physical garments of this world, and then he was able to see the letters. That's all there are letters. Mamash, everything's a letter. Everything are letters. So that's what he saw. But the Rebbe Chaim says, we can't see because we have our eyes are of flesh. La'asad love oksiv, but regarding the future when Mashiach will come, it is written, Ru'u kol basar yachdav, ki pi Hashem dibir. Then all flesh will see that the mouth of God has spoken. And the meaning of that is that all the world will see that all of existence is the Pi Hashem Dibir, is the word of God. Now, the similar statement, skip the next one for a second, we'll come back to it. The number 11 is from the Tanya, from Alter Rebbe. All things that exist in the higher and the lower worlds. I feel eretz elazu hagashmis, even this physical world that we can touch. Ubechinas doimei mamish, even inanimate things like stones. Ilu hayu misalkas mimenu karegah chasu shalom haisiyas ma'asar ma'amara shabahen nivres haris If, even for one second, the letters of the Aleph Beis that were used to create the physical world with the 10 utterances of Hashem, if for one second one letter of those utterances would be taken away, then what? Everything would return to nothing, mamish to nothing, to zero. Like it was before the creation of the world. So now understand. We'll come back to that afterwards. Understand that the purpose that a human being was created, the tachlis of creation, was to hear the Devar Hashem. To hear the word of God that's in everything. To hear the Devar Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem. That's our Bechira. To listen, to hear. To hear, to be focused on the Devar Hashem, on the will of God that's in all things. What does Hashem want for me now? What am I supposed to be hearing right now in my life? This person is talking to me. I'm hearing a shir. I'm going here. I'm going there. My child is talking to me. What does Hashem Yisbarach want? What is he telling me through this davar? In other words, what is this davar? Maha davar hazeh medaber elai. What is this thing that I'm living through telling me? What is this tree with its beautiful leaves and different colors? What is it telling me? I'll tell you, it's telling me, Ein kamoicha, there's no one like God. Ein tzayar kelokeinu, there's no artist like Hashem. That's what it's telling me. That's what the sunset is telling me. Ein tzayar kelokeinu, who can paint like Hashem? Ein tzayar kelokeinu. The whole world. Bidvar Hashem shemayim nasu. Mol haaretz kinyanecha, the world is filled with ways of acquiring the master of the world of hearing. The job of a human being in this world is to hear the Dvar Hashem, and then to do what? And then to be medaber es habriya, then to lead the world. Then once I've heard, now I could speak. And speaking means to tell others, to tell myself, and to tell everybody else about the extraordinary chen, the extraordinary charm and beauty of Hashem and His world. To speak, to lead the world, to fix the world, to be. Remember, speaking means to control. It means to run. It means to guide. Ladabra means to guide. So the human being, through his free choice, can either speak in a way to lead the world down into the darkest place. If I look at everything through physical eyes and I don't listen to the Devar Hashem, then I lead the world into ugliness. I take everything that's holy and I draw it into impurity and I bring it down to the lowest level of the guf. The lowest level. But if I use my speech correctly, in other words, if I'm listening correctly and I'm facing Hashem and all things that surround me, I see Hashem panim el panim face to face, and I'm listening, then I become the spokesman of creation. It means I fix creation. I can bring everything up. I become the dabbar, the one who is able to lead and control. I take a fruit and I become a medabra of this piece of fruit. I lead it back to the one who made it by doing what? By making a bracha, by appreciating the one who gave it to me. I become the medabra. I become the leader, the ruler, the master of all creation, which is what Hashem wanted us to be. He gave us this world. Hashemayim shemayim l'Hashem v'aretz nosen l'vnei adam. Heaven is God and the earth was given to man, and the Gei Rebbe said, the Sfasema said, that the Chiddush Arim said, that heaven, Hashemayim shemayim l'Hashem, and Va'aretz Nosen L'Vnei Adam, and Hashem gave the earth to man to make it back into Shemayim, to bring it back to Him. Therefore, in number 12, Ha'adam La'omal Yulad, it says in the Pasuk in Iyov, that man was created to struggle, to work, to toil, and there are different opinions there, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin La'omal Peh, it means the toil of the mouth, working with our mouth. Again, it doesn't just mean to talk. It means to guide, to use Bechira in the proper way, to bring everything that is from the world of Nefesh up to the world of Neshama, to draw all things back to Hashem. And that's the meaning of V'asim Devari Beficha. Hashem says, I will place my word in your mouth. Yishayin and Aleph, Yishayahu. O Betzel Yodai Ksesicha. Lentoa Shemayim Eliyaseid Aretz. V'loim Eletzion Amiyata. Which means
Hashem says, I will give you my word in your mouth, that with your word you can plant heavens and establish earth. V'lomer let Zion, and I will tell Zion, Ami ata, you are my nation. What is the meaning of this? It means that Hashem gave the word befinu in our mouth with the koach of dibur, of speaking. He gave the human being with what you say and what you, how you lead your life and what you do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you with every machshav, every thought, every dibur, every word, and every action that a Jew does can either fix the world or, God forbid, destroy the world. And a goy has no such koach. This is beferish in the Ari and the Ramchal, that whatever a guy does can only affect this world. But what a Jewish person does with every thought, word, and action, mamish, all the worlds are affected. Are either lifted up to the highest place or lowered to the lowest place. And that's what we learned a few weeks ago. The Ruach is defined by the Vilna Gaon as Olevi Yorei, that rises or it falls. The Ruach, that's between the Nefesh and the Shama, which is Dibur, the Ruach HaPeh, which either lifts or draws down. So you understand that speaking doesn't just mean to say words. Speaking means lifting, leading, controlling, guiding, bringing, raising. That's what the word ledaber means. Yedabra amim tachtenu. Asher bedvar melech shilton, that the king rules with his words. And the Jewish person was made the king over the world. These are the words of Hashem. Therefore, another minute. Al tikri ami ela imi bishutfe. The Gemara says, the Zohar says, now that pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I put my word into your mouth to rule heaven and earth, to establish heaven and earth, and I said to Tzion, Ami ata. So Chazal say in the Zohar, Ami ata means Imi ata. Not just that you are my nation, but you are like me. You're my partner. Imi ata. Ami means my nation. You are my people. But the word Imi means what? You are together with me, means you are like me. With my words I created heaven and earth, and I give you with your words, with your diburim, to take all the divarim and fix and lift and build. The moral is telling us that is the deeper meaning of when it says in the Torah that the person is like the tree of the field. That the human being is compared to the tree of the field. We find, I'll be upstairs in a minute. Shalom Yain, tell them, I'll be there in a minute. We find that what? That speech, words are called in Tanakh fruit, produce. Niv svasayim, which means the pronunciation, the utterance of my lips. Niv, the word navi, right, the one who speaks. Niv svasayim means pronunciation of my lips, is from the word tnuva, which means the produce of the earth, fruits and vegetables, peros. Why? Because everybody, this is one of the most famous morals, that the reason that a person is named an Adam, a human being is an Adam, is from the word Adama, the earth. And what is the earth? The earth has the extraordinary ability to take something out from the potential and to bring it into reality. That's what the earth does, the Adama. Therefore, what is a human being? The human being has the koach to take something which is potential and to cause it to, and to bring it, to lead it out into reality, to bring it out into reality. Therefore, an Adam is from the word Adama. So why are words called fruits? Niv, Svasayim tnuva sasada, because with every word you bring and lead creation in either the right direction or, God forbid, the wrong direction. You bring out. A dibur is called a fruit because the Adam is the Adama who can bring forth produce in God's world. That's what he wants us to do. To cause this world to be fruitful and to multiply with holiness. To be fruitful and multiply with holiness. And that's the end of that pasuk in Mishlei. Mavis v'chaim b'yad haloshen. That death and life is in the hands of the tongue. For ohaveha, whoever loves to use words in the correct way, yochal pirya. That person will merit to eat the good fruit of one's own words. So the good fruit of one's own words means the good products of holiness that were created by you leading all the potential that's contained in physical and all the devarim, and through your diburim, you redeemed all things from their state of exile, and brought out the potential of all things, and became the king over this world. Like they used to say by the Chassidim, I think that Tanya said, that Rabbi Elimelech said, that Hashem is the tzaddik above, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev is the tzaddik below.
And the meaning of the tzaddik down here below, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditshev, the meaning of the tzaddik below is tzaddik gozer, v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim. When the tzaddik speaks, Hashem brings that out into the world. When the tzaddik speaks. That's dibur, what we learned now tonight. I went a little bit over time, I'm sorry, because I didn't want to, in the middle. Dibur means speaking. Speaking means this perfected use of bechira to bring all devarim, to bring out from all devarim the deeper essence, the deeper reality, which is the Dvar Hashem that's hidden in all creation, as Reb Chaim Netanya said. The ruach, the essence of all things. And the opposite of that is galus hadibur, the exile of speech. The exile of speech. And that's what we're going to talk about, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, the place that's constricted, the place where you can't see anything, the place where no slave could leave, that's the place of galus hadibur, of the exile of speech. And we'll learn about that, Mitzrayim, next week. And how is it that the avodah, the yontif of Pesach, is the redemption of speech, Bez Hashem.